without Shigata, without the world, Supreme God, unity, stand, teach yourself and human beings. Unity, take me fully back one, without descendants, destroy them. Glorious confidence, subdue to his exercise, and frustration, and offering to go to refuge. To the thousand, the endowed, as it is, destroy the one, but beyond the third, destroy it.
Thank you. Christmas transition.
And the Lord says,
ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཕྱི 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 ཕ
Öyle, herkesin dünya maddeler dini dağdığımı yani lama çöpa dağdığımı çöpa lama din tüyük diye ve diye dele dine anca ki lama dağdığımı lama çöpa diye deva diye çünkü yine ne cik lüydan senme kanalın ma senba şey yani döndüğü şeyle yani lama çöşüva çinçe kaleca dine ki diye koşuya şey de diye anca ki karışı korusun arazu yine lama dile ne yandı çöyü ᱟᱱᱡᱩᱜᱮ ᱞᱟᱢᱟᱞᱮ ᱛᱮᱵᱟ ᱪᱮᱪᱩᱜᱩ ᱪᱮᱛᱮ ᱞᱟᱢᱮ ᱠᱟᱥᱤᱱ ᱴᱩᱠᱩ ᱦᱩᱨᱮ ᱥᱟᱞᱟᱢᱮ ᱠᱟᱴᱩᱜᱮ ᱫᱮ ᱠᱟᱨᱮᱞᱟᱱᱟ ᱟᱢᱤ ᱜᱟᱨᱥᱩᱝᱜᱚ ᱨᱟᱥᱮ 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 ᱜᱟᱨ
this faith arises in the teacher, then on the basis of that faith, one strives in to fulfill the teachings or the instructions from one's teacher. And these are in particular, or to put it in its briefest form, that one should engage in the accumulation of virtue, and one should abandon all non-virtue. And so, how this relates then to the section on the spiritual teacher is that having investigated the teacher, faith, strong and stable, heartfelt faith having arisen, then one is able to endeavor or make great effort in fulfilling the in practicing the Dharma that he has taught, and be not being distracted or being concerned by any the problems and the difficulties that one does encounter. And last week we also spoke about how this fits into our meditation practice, in that we do our regular meditation on refuge, the kindness of mothers, etc., wishing to repay their kindness, and leading up to the generation of bodhicitta, and then reflecting briefly on emptiness, and then dedicating all the virtue so that we always remain under the care of our spiritual friend until enlightenment is attained, and that all beings come under the care of such a spiritual friend. So that's what we've been looking at previously. And tonight we'll continue with the biographies that are presented in the text. So we'll start with that of Naropa, and he's relying on his teacher Tilopa. So now we near the bottom of page
157.
When Naropa met Tilopa, then he was astounded by Tilopa's appearance, because he was dressed in rags. He had the appearance of being nothing but a common beggar. Nevertheless, knowing about Tilopa's attainments, Naropa requested that Tilopa accept him as a student and teach him the Dharma. Tilopa accepted Naropa's request, and requested that Naropa could be a student and that he would teach him the Dharma. And so they set out on their travels, and wherever Tilopa went, Naropa accompanied him. So the first story is when Tilopa took Naropa up a tall building, so a 9-floor building, and when they got to the top, he said, does any teacher have a student who would be so devoted to the teacher that would follow whatever advice was given? For example, jumping off a 9-floor building, off the 9th floor of a building. And so Naropa heard this, and he thought to himself, well, there's no one else here, so this rhetorical question must relate to me. Naropa, wanting to follow his teacher's advice, did exactly as was said, and he jumped off this 9th floor of a building, and of course landed with a thud. And Tilopa then walked down the stairs and asked Naropa, "How are you? Are you hurt?" So Naropa replied, "It's not that I'm hurt. I'm nearly dead."
Mm-hmm. many lama shigi yana da lama chum jai marwa da lama di ha gugur wa da nga ni sam sheba na ju ko nyansa de nyansa mares pa sam che du lama gi da ma ji chum su de din lama gi ko lama ka so chi du da lama da ha yi ji je ne ko ma chum ja wa da che na lama la de ba shu ji tem bu ha wa yo da ngan zui de din ni ji du marwa che ma do ban da ngan zui ya di do ba ni ya wa ji fu ro ma wa
If we were received an instruction such as this, well, we would most probably not follow such advice. And this would be due to not wanting to die and being quite convinced if we jump off the ninth floor of a building, there's only one outcome to that story. Whereas Naropa, due to the power of his faith, he sincerely believed that his teacher had the ability to know whether he would die or not if he followed this advice. So therefore, the story shows the tremendous trust he had in his teacher by following this advice. Us, on the other hand, for sure we would have a doubt, and we would that strength of the doubt would outweigh our faith in our teacher.
Then
Now we come to the second story, which is near the top of page 158. So here, just before we get to the second story, this one ends then with Talopa blessing Naropa and thereby reinvigorating his body or restoring his body to like before. Now we come to the second story. In the second story, they are now continuing on their journeys. And at one point, Talopa instructs Naropa to make a fire. So he makes the fire, and then Talopa, he takes some bamboo needles, maybe, and he covers them in oil and heats them on the flames. And then he takes Naropa's hands and he takes these bamboo needles and pierces them underneath the fingernails on each of his fingers. And then he does the same on each of Naropa's toes. Then Talopa walks off and leaves Naropa there in tremendous agony. Of course, then Naropa experienced unbearable pain from this. And at this point now, of course, Talopa has wandered off. And he leaves Naropa there, not just for a few moments, but for a few days. And then he returns, and one by one he pulls out these bamboo needles. And of course the wounds are festered and are full of pus and the like. But he pulls them all out, then he blesses his students, he blesses Naropa, and through the blessing he heals, Naropa once again heals, and is as new. Now, with Naropa having been healed once again by his teacher, they continued on their journey. And at one point they stopped, and Talopa said, "I am hungry, go fetch me some food." And Naropa then went off begging, and he came across some workers who were eating some soup that they had made. So he begged some soup from them and brought this back to his teacher, who ate the soup with great relish. And so Naropa was quite surprised, because his teacher hasn't shown such enjoyment before the meal. So he thought, "Oh, this soup must be quite delicious." So he went to beg some more for his teacher. But by this stage, the workers had returned to their work and had left their food and their bowls, etc., where they'd eaten previously. So with no one there to ask if he could, with no one there to beg from, then Naropa thought, "Well, I'm not going to return empty-handed, so I'll just help myself to some soup. I'll steal some soup," which he then did. However, the workers saw him, and not only did they see him, they chased him and caught up with him, and then beat him severely. As before, Talopa came across Naropa, blessed him, restored him again. And then they continued on their journey. And now at another point, then Talopa said, "I need some money. I need some money, some possessions. You go and steal this for me." So Naropa, off he went to a wealthy person and stole some money from the wealthy person. However, once again he was caught, and he was beaten within an inch of his life. Now, when we hear stories like this, it's probable we all think something similar, in that we think, what kind of teacher is this? This Talopa, I mean, he purposefully harms his students or sends them into dangerous situations where he knows that he's going to be physically harmed in a severe way. So it's, of course, this is how it sounds from an ordinary perspective, but Talopa is not an ordinary teacher. So he, knowing Naropa well, Naropa's mind well, he is in giving Naropa an opportunity to actually practice the Dharma, although Naropa doesn't realize it as such, or realize that this is what is happening, in that he is now has the opportunity to, first of all, to practice patience in terms of his endeavor to receive teachings and thereby be able to contemplate these teachings. So he's being able to practice patience in terms of overcoming difficulties in relation to receiving Dharma teachings. And then secondly, he's not giving up. Rather, he's continuing to make efforts to follow his teacher's advice in order to receive these Dharma teachings. So therefore, the mind of joyous perseverance, this too is growing and strengthening. And then thirdly, he's not getting angry at his teacher. He's not doubting the abilities of his teacher. And in this way, his faith is also growing and strengthening. So through these three virtues growing and strengthening in Naropa's mind, due to engaging in these practices, he is thereby purifying negativities, and negativities in particular in terms of being able to receive and realize the Dharma. So Tilopa knows this, hence he is acting or treating Naropa in this way.
Then, firstly, Naropa's
mind of bodhicitta, this mind of enlightenment, this too is growing and strengthening as he strives to overcome all these hardships and endure all of these hardships. And why is that? So the mind of enlightenment, or this mind of bodhicitta, has the aspiration to, in order to free all sentient beings from suffering and lead them to enlightenment, I myself need to become a Buddha. I myself need to become enlightened. So here, this wish to become enlightened for the sake of others is the motivation that drives Naropa to overcome, or first of all, to endure and overcome all of these tremendous hardships and these tremendous difficulties, so as to benefit others. So fourthly, his mind of bodhicitta also grows and strengthens. So at the top of page 159, and now we at the ninth. The fifth example. So here they've continued on their journey, and now Tilopa says to Naropa, "I'm going to make a fire, and now you go and fetch some water, please."
When Naropa
returned with the water, then Tilopa scolded him and beat him, and then he said to Naropa, show me your forehead. So he had to move back his hair. And then Tilopa took his shoe and hit him on the forehead. And he hit him so hard that Naropa fell down unconscious.
When Naropa regained
consciousness, his mind then had all the qualities that are in the mind of his teacher, in Tilopa's mind, all of those were then present within Naropa's mind when he gained consciousness.
Namalia Debatisu, Chibi Debatibu Yovache, Namalia,
What Naropa had achieved were quite outstanding or extraordinary realizations. And he was able to do that without needing to retreat into the mountains and meditate for a long period of time. Rather, due to the combination of the power of his faith and the purification that he had gone through and the accumulation of virtue that he had gone through following the advice of his teacher, then on the one hand, as well as through the power of the teacher himself, Naropa was able to attain those realizations. Now we're near it, just below halfway on page 159, the sixth illustrations here. So now that Naropa has given rise to these qualities within his continuum, then he no longer needs to stay with Talopa, and they no longer need to travel together. And so they parted company, and he headed for a monastery in North India called Vikramala Sila. And but before heading for the monastery, Talopa said to him, when you get to that monastery, you will be requested to be a gatekeeper, and do not accept their request. So he heard the advice of his teacher, he went to the monastery, and when he got there, it turns out one of the scholars who fulfilled the role of gatekeeper at the northern gate of the monastery had died. So the monks of the monastery requested Naropa to please be that gatekeeper, because the purpose of a gatekeeper is that when the non-Buddhists would come to debate with the Buddhists, the gatekeeper would be the person who would have to defend the Buddhist view and overcome the wrong views of the non-Buddhists, or specifically the eternalists or the Chuttikas. So because they requested Naropa so earnestly, and there wasn't anyone as skilled as he was, he accepted their request, despite his teacher specifically telling him not to do that. So what we see here is that because of these the strength and the quality of the realizations that now Naropa had gained, there was probably some pride where he was thinking, well, he can overcome anything. And so with such an affliction present, he accepted this request. And then shortly afterwards, a Tritika teacher came, or a view holder of the eternalist view came to debate with the monastery. And he came to the northern gate, and then Naropa had to engage in debate with him. But despite debating for many days, he couldn't overcome, or he couldn't beat in debate or dispel the wrong views of this Tritika teacher. So then Naropa made fervent requests to his teacher, to Tilopa, and he made supplications to Tilopa, and then Tilopa appeared before him. And Tilopa immediately scolded him and said, "I told you not to accept this position. I told you you'd be offered it, and you should not accept it." So Naropa apologized, and then Tilopa advised him what to do. He said, "Now, when you next debate with this Tritika, you should visualize me on the crown of your head, and then you will beat him in debate."
The meaning now of these of this biography that we've heard of Naropa is that he clearly was someone who had extraordinary faith in his teacher. And so through the power of the faith in his teacher, he endured tremendous hardships, as we've heard, and he did things that otherwise one would not do, for example, jump off the tower, etc. So he had this tremendous heartfelt faith that in the wisdom of his teacher, the superior wisdom of his teacher. And then secondly, not only did he have faith in his teacher, but due to his, he utilized all these difficult experiences he had, or these tremendously difficult experiences that he had, to further his Dharma practice. So the first point was the faith. The second point is that he practiced patience with all these hardships in terms of practicing the Dharma. And he was never angry or resentful towards his teacher. So here he was practicing patience, keeping his mind calm and undisturbed, despite the tremendous hardships. So in other words, these tremendous hardships never affected the faith he had in his teacher due to the strengthening of his practice of patience. And then thirdly, as part of this, his mind of choice perseverance, this grew and strengthened. He had this strong strong desire to overcome all obstacles so as to attain his goal. And this then was linked with the fourth point here, and that is his mind of bodhicitta, which was growing and strengthening in conjunction with the joyous perseverance, patience, and faith. The strong wish that to attain a state of Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings, he will overcome each and every hardship that he encounters along the path. And these hardships are nothing, overcoming these hardships or enduring these hardships are nothing compared to the prize at the end of his journey, the attainment of enlightenment, the attaining of the ability to be of lasting benefit to all sentient beings. So those four points are in brief the meaning of this biography. Now we start the second and large biography, that of Milarepa in relation to his teacher Mapa. So now we're at the top of page
160. And the church was some jet, Lama Chisalachin, Lama de Lama Jimmy Yungtun Bassa, Yosara, Nizalachin, Lama, Joshua Dora,
Kongi Tanda Gronsome,
Yungtun Bassa, Yungtun,
because
there's a little diggy garson was an old that me, Churon, the church, is Yahoo, Mare, Churon, and ya. Lama Laga says your diesel juice, Tama is here.
Lama so?
Lama Laga, wrong gen Laga says you are on diesel juice, Tama is. Lama D took him, Lama email, Lama, Chimbuchi, or diesel juice, Tama is here.
And so, yeah, starting now at the top of page 160. So, Milarepa, when he was younger, he had committed a lot of very powerful negative actions. So, coming to understand the consequences that would come, that would follow the negative actions that he himself had done, he generated regret for this and the wish to practice the Dharma. So, wanting now to practice the Dharma, he went in search of a teacher, and he first went to a teacher called Lama Yungpen, who sent him to a Dzogchen teacher called Rongpen Lakpa. So, this is just above the middle of page 160.
Loma be masigi kadin loma leto le da lama da loma nige be jewa le jewanga manigi dinigi leto le yo baina le yo baina gom jamo ge san je du res ha jine ne du jine sun jin mi se che sun yo ma de shi ma lame ge mi le ba ma sun je du jine ne sha ba kha she du sha sha do sun wa Jadi dah mila lewat di mana, soalnya jadi mana anu corong corong desa kampar mana tangan lewat dah. Di lama tu lewat mila lewat desa cior lewat dah. Desa tu tangan tu, jadi mila lewat sama tangan ni je. Oh dah, ngada dah ni mana ni tu juga anu ni bersih macam hutan sahaja. Tapi ngada ni kita lama ni cuci ni mana tu juga dia kalah juga, kalah sih ucap ni. Tapi lama ni cuci ni mungkin gomno ni mungkin sanjir, gomda gomno gomna sanjir juga ni cuci jenis jenis. Nada dah lejar je ni saya samjir, ni lama sanjir tu kira samjir, jadi ni je leh sahaja. Kalau ni je ni, jadi ni ada cuci gua sama dah je ni je leh leh je.
Milarepa then came before his teacher Rongpen Lakpa and told him about all the negativities he's done, and that this is his motivation now to change and to practice the Dharma, and he has this heartfelt wish to practice the Dharma. So Rongpen Lakpa accepted him as a student, and he said to him, the Dharma that I have to teach is a particularly powerful Dharma, or a special Dharma. In fact, if you meditate on this Dharma in the day, you'll become a Buddha in that day. If you meditate on this Dharma at night, you'll become a Buddha in the night. And if you've accumulated particularly powerful causes in the past, you won't even need to meditate. You'll just become a Buddha just through hearing these teachings. So he then taught the teachings to Milarepa, and Milarepa then went to his room. And he got there and thought, well, in this life, I've done some things that required quite some power, and he reflected the negativities he had performed on earlier, such as creating powerful hailstorms and the like. So I clearly I've done things which are quite difficult. Now I've made a Dharma that sounds comparatively very easy. You meditate on the teachings in the day, you become a Buddha in the day. Or if you meditate on the teachings at night, you'll become a Buddha that night. And then this third option is probably the one most relevant to me, because I've had to endure so many difficulties to get to this point to receive these teachings. I'm sure I've created quite extraordinary causes in the past, and therefore don't even need to meditate. And with such a thought, he went to sleep. Then later, his teacher came to Milarepa and saw him relaxing. And he was disappointed, and he said to Milarepa, "Well, clearly I'm not the teacher who's going to lead you to enlightenment. The quality of our karmic connection is not such where my teachings will have that power that you will attain enlightenment. The teacher that you have such a karmic connection with, this karmic connection from previous lifetimes, that is Mapa." And then he sent Milarepa to Mapa. And then at that point, when Milarepa just heard the name Mapa, great faith arose within him, just at the mention of the name. So, and this was something that we looked at last week, and I think we're now near the top of page 161.
Dalama dinigi ko da milere ba ya la marba zala chin je la marba zil je ga shu dalama marba zil ya gar shu ba da nga pe ma se di ba chen bu yi de sa nga che shu wa le ba yin je sa la ma nin chora zal ya du chin che chin na ro je sa da nga ma ni ya la ma zil shu yi chin na ni la ma chora ya ni lu ma yi sum cha sa la ma pu gi yi sa na ni nin che ya la ma chora na ro je nga le ya ane
Milarepa set out to meet Mapa, and when he encountered him, he explained his heartfelt wish to study the Dharma. So he explained his background, that he had committed these powerful negativities, and he realized that these are negativities, and he now wants to engage in Dharma practice. And so he requested to Mapa that, "Please, Mapa, care for me, give me food to eat, give me clothes to wear, and give me the precious Dharma teachings that I require. And to you I offer my body, to you I offer my speech, to you I offer my mind."
Then
Mahapa then accepted Milarepa and as a student and said to him that you offer your body, speech and mind. This is a very good offering that you have made. But it should be clear that these negativities that you have committed in the past were not done on my instruction. These were things that you did yourself, were under your own motivation. Now, if you want me to take you under my care, to give you food, clothing, dharma, well, I'm not going to give you all of that. I will either give you food to eat and clothing to wear, or I will give you the dharma. This is for you to choose which you'd rather have. Milarepa immediately responded by saying, I've sought you out because I want to study the Dharma with you. The rest is not important. The food and clothing, I will take care of that.
Mahapa
said that the Dharma that I will teach you, if this is practiced well, you will attain enlightenment in this lifetime. But that is dependent not on my teachings, because my teachings are unmistaken, but it is dependent on your effort. So through you making the required effort, you will attain this result, but it depends on you making that effort. Milarepa then pleased at this news, he set out now to beg for food. So he was able to collect a large amount of barley, and he also got he exchanged some of this for a copper pot. Then he returned to offer this to his teacher, to Mahapa. So Mahapa was indoors at the time, and Milarepa came inside with this pot and this large amount of champa, and offered it to Mahapa. But before he offered it, he placed it down on the ground. But it was a large offering. It was heavy, and in fact, it made the whole house shake.
So Mahapa
scolded Milarepa and said, what are you doing? Are you now trying to destroy my house? Get out and take this with you.
Then
Milarepa ki Mahapa la sang de pusong. However, he was able to still offer the copper pot to Mahapa.
Then Mahapa proceeded to give
instructions to Milarepa, but the instructions were that students that come to see him, they encounter many difficulties and problems on the road from other communities. So you use the powers that you have attained previously, you use those powers to harm these other people. You make hailstorms and you stop the problems that my students have when they're traveling here. And we're now just above halfway on page
162.
Then Milarepa came to Mapa and said, I've fulfilled what you've said and I did it well. Mapa responded by scolding him and said, you want to study the precious Dharma with me, and yet you've gone and done something non-virtuous. You've harmed people through creating these hailstorms. So these trials and tribulations continued for a lengthy period of time, and eventually Milarepa's his motivation or his mind got quite worn out by this, and he became quite dispirited. Okay. So we now we skip ahead here, skip ahead a bit. So we're on page 163. If I've got it right. Sumsutampa, Nikya Sumsutampa. Yeah, page 163. So here now Mapa says, I want you to build a large house. Build a large house for me. So this you can continue to read, because these stories have great benefits, but it's many pages here, so we're not going to go through it all tonight. But the outcome was Mapa would start and would be made to do it again, etc. But these are things you have in front of you, so you can read. So now you have a few moments to read or to relax. This process continues for some time, as you'll see here in the biography, where Milarepa is told to build a house according to these, or it's not really a house, more like a it's translated different ways, a tower or a mansion or a temple, and it's quite some size. And before he finishes, he's repeatedly told to break it down, and then when he's broken it down, build another one, etc. So this process repeated continuously. And so what kept happening is he would work with great hardship, building the house with his bare hands, and his teacher was never satisfied and only responded by scolding him. And as he continued to build something, he would then have to break it down, then start another one, and as he continued with that, before he finished, he'd have to break it down and build another, etc. The whole time only being scolded and abused by his teacher. Eventually Milarepa became quite dispirited because he thought, I'm never going to have the opportunity to receive the teachings and to practice in accordance with my desire. There's no point in me being here, I might as well just leave. So he left Mapa and he went traveling elsewhere. And on his journey he was then called in, or requested rather, by a family that he met. And the family could see that Milarepa knew some Dhamma. So they requested him to recite the transcendent wisdom in 8,000 verses, so the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras. So here we just below halfway on page 164. So this family requested him to recite the sutras, and within the sutras was a biography that we covered last week about the bodhisattva called Always Crying, or in Sanskrit, Sada Prarudita. And so Milarepa then read the biography whilst he was reciting the text, the sutras for his patrons. He recited the biography of the bodhisattva Always Crying. And so we'll remember this from last week, that this bodhisattva went through tremendous difficulties so as to receive teachings and to be able to practice. And reading about this, then Milarepa came to see that the tremendous hardships that he had experienced weren't unique to him, and in fact, they weren't so bad, especially compared to not only what other practitioners have gone through, but in terms of the tremendous value of the goal that is to be attained. Now his mind was once again invigorated, and he returned to Mapa. And Mapa then, Amalaripa returned to Mapa, and he expressed his wish to study and to practice. So Mapa's wife sent him away and sent him to a student of Mapa, a student called Lama Nokpa. And so Amalaripa then went to this Lama Nokpa to study and practice with him at the instruction of Mapa's wife. And then he went there and he received teachings from Lama Nokpa. But no matter how hard he tried to meditate on these teachings, no realization was arising in his mind. And this was because Milarepa, before going to Lama Nokpa, hadn't received the permission from Mapa. So we remember now need to recall that earlier, when Milarepa met Mapa, he offered his body, speech, and mind to Mapa. So this, of course, has meaning. He has offered his body and his speech and his mind, everything that he has, to Mapa. So then just to go off and do his own thing is no longer appropriate. So therefore, no realizations came despite his endeavor. And one day Mapa sent a message to Lama Nokpa, "Bring your students, please come to where I am and I will give teachings and we'll do some puja together." So Lama Nokpa and his students went to Mapa, and Lama Nokpa took Milarepa with him. So they all sat there before Milarepa to receive teachings and do puja. And when Mapa saw Milarepa there, he scolded Milarepa and said, "What are you doing here? You shouldn't be amongst the audience. Get out." And he sent Milarepa away. Now Milarepa was he was broken, where he was really mentally particularly unhappy. He went away thinking the strength of the negativities that I've accumulated and the resulting obstacles are so great. Not only do I have to suffer so because of this, but others do because of me, such as Lama Nokpa now, who's being scolded by our teacher Marpa, as well as Marpa's wife. All of these people who've helped me and shown me kindness, they are now receiving problems from our teacher due to me and my behavior and my negativities. Really, it would be better if I didn't live anymore, if I wasn't around anyone anymore. Then, of course, all I do is create problems for others. And so then he resolved to commit suicide. Having made this resolve, he walked off, but Lama Nokpa found him and inquired what Milarepa was thinking and planning to do. And hearing that Milarepa was wanting to commit suicide, he discouraged him from this, saying, "Regenerate your faith in Mapa. You should not commit suicide. Rather, regenerate your faith in Mapa."
Then
Then Marpa, being aware of what was happening, he also approached and he said, I will teach you now, and Malaripa sat down.
Now,
Mapa, from this point forward, he acted very differently to Malaripa. He spoke to him in a gentle manner for the first time, and they went away together, and he had his wife prepare delicious food for him, and then he taught him some Dharma, gave him a new name. So we have here, near the top of page 165, he was given the name Miller Dorje Geltin. And then Mapa bestowed the initiation of Heruka, or we call it here something else, Samvara. Samvara or Heruka. This initiation was then bestowed to Milarepa by Mapa. Mapa made the entire mandala, etc., appear clearly before Milarepa. Now we've heard two biographies here. One of the first one of Kari Naropa, now the second one of Milarepa. And the experiences are quite different, the individual experiences, but the stories have the same meaning. Both of these practitioners both of these beings had still a lot of negativities on their continuum. They had performed very powerful negativities. And in order to purify them, their teachers related to them in this exceptional way. And they were able to do that because, first of all, there was this connection between the two, and this was expressed due to the power of the faith that the student had in their teacher. So through having to endure such tremendous hardships, Milarepa went through the same maybe progression or mental development as Naropa did. In other words, as he continued to persevere with the difficulties, his faith in his teacher strengthened. His practice of patience is too strengthened, in particular in terms of overcoming any difficulty that he encountered in order to be of benefit to others through being able to practice the Dharma. And then accompanying this is the mind of joyous perseverance, that the mind that takes delight in these virtuous endeavors. And then fourthly, as before, the mind of bodhicitta within Malaripa, as with Naropa, this grew and strengthened, because the wish to overcome all difficulties without any anger arising, with the mind staying patient and calm and gentle, this, as this grew, so as to become attain enlightenment for the sake of others, then the bodhicitta and Malaripa also grew and strengthened. Then these minds, as they grew and strengthened, they purified a lot of the negativities that had been accumulated by Malaripa and Naropa. And through the purification, eventually realizations could be attained. And this is because as long as we have powerful negativities on our continuum, realizations will not be able to be achieved. So this is the meaning of both of these biographies.
ดิเจอะดิเนเอ่อดาดุดุดุชินจิยอเรสงิมาดาดุดุดุชินจิยอโคลงเกลอมะมังกูจิเลียอะนมังกูจิตุยชินเนชื่อชื่อชื่อชิยอเรสดิเนชื่อชื่อเวกับละโคลงเกดาดุชินโคลงลามะชิยอรวาลามะเดจูโวโรชิเจปังโวโรชิเจมาดิมาเลยองดิดาดุชินจิโคลงลามะทงกลามะเฟบะฮากูโรดิลามะเลชามะเซยอมาลกาซะเนลามะจูโวโรชิเจซา
Now further down page 165, there's a story from ancient India about another siddha who was teaching, he was a Dharma teacher. And so one day he was teaching a number of students, and his teacher also came to attend the teachings. But his teacher came dressed as a beggar, so in this particularly lowly form. And so here the siddha, who was teaching, he was embarrassed that his teacher had come in with such an appearance, and therefore pretended like he didn't see him. He ignored him, rather than what he would have normally done, which would be to approach his teacher and prostrate to his teacher. So rather he ignored and pretended not to see his teacher.
Then
that evening, so after the day's teachings were done, then the siddha went to his teacher and prostrated to his teacher. And his teacher responded by scolding him and said, "Why now? Why didn't you greet me and prostrate to me when you saw me earlier today?" Siddha replied by dishonestly saying, "I didn't see you."
Through
the power of now lying to his teacher, his eyes immediately fell out of his head. Needless to say, strong regret arose in his mind immediately. And then he apologized sincerely to his teacher, and his teacher then blessed him and restored his eyes.
Oh, yeah. dinesin an dujinal dujin pa dugores ta tunal ba dodi nane korongi garasa mare labne ding hilama de yenden ding ale lama de yenden chere de lama jene yuding a chege de samje ko yang nga je che ba de
And now near the bottom of the page, there's a final story about a siddha, also from the time of ancient India, who was traveling, was on a ship, and he thought to himself, well, actually, in terms of dharma qualities and attainments, realizations, my teacher is far more advanced than me. But on a worldly sense, in terms of wealth and number of students, I'm actually more advanced than my teacher. Now, pride had arisen in this Siddha's mind, and due to the negativity of under a mind of pride, having these negative thoughts towards his teacher, his ship that he was traveling on that sank, and he was floundering in the water, probably going to drown. And he made supplications to his teacher, who then appeared before him, blessed him and saved him. Then his teacher said to him, you must guard your mind against the afflictions, and in this case, guard your mind against pride. The reason that I'm not wealthy and I don't have a large number of students is because I have made the conscious decision not to pursue these things. If I had chosen to do so, I would have far more students and wealth than you have. But I consciously chose not to. So you need to be aware of this afflictive mind of pride and guard against it. The meaning of this biography again is similar to the previous ones. So it's really to guard us, to warn us against the possibility of the afflictive minds arising. And because if they do, it's in relation to our teacher, if these afflictive minds arise, then our faith in our teacher will weaken. Rather, we should be always sure to guard our faith in our teacher and strive to develop this mind of faith in our teacher and ensure that it doesn't diminish but rather grows. And again, then the meaning of this story, like the others, is that whatever difficulties we encounter, either directly from the teacher or indirectly, we should be, first of all, patient with these difficulties. So in other words, we shouldn't let whatever difficulties or obstacles or suffering we encounter disturb our peace of mind. We should stay patient and keep our minds open, relaxed, and gentle. Furthermore, We should, as part of this, we should ensure we never respond with anger or annoyance and the like, especially towards our teacher. And then thirdly, we should make great effort in terms of overcoming these difficulties. And if we do this, then tremendous results will follow. Because what we've heard in these biographies, if you've seen the tremendous obstacles obstacles that were met by these practitioners and the effort that they put in to overcome them. And they did this just to eventually receive a single teaching. So what we then should take away from this is that we too should act in the same way that they do, that they did. We too should guard our faith. We should practice patience in terms of all the difficulties that we encounter in our journey to attain the goal of enlightenment. And we should do so with a mind of joyous perseverance. So in other words, a mind that takes delight in our practice. And we should do this with holding the goal of enlightenment for the sake of others as at the forefront of our mind. Just to summarize again, we should take these biographies as advice or as an inspiration to us. So we should read them again and again, because whilst we covered them in brief tonight, there's a lot here, and there's benefit to reading them on your own. Because the meaning of these in brief is that whatever instructions we receive or teachings that we receive, we should put these into practice. Because if we understand that our teacher has the wisdom to know what our capacity is, we therefore all the instructions we are given are instructions that we have the ability to follow. And that this entire path that leads to the ultimate goal, the goal of Buddhahood, our teacher knows we can follow this path, we can practice this path. And therefore, we should take that as confidence in that We should never think that, oh, this is too much, the instructions I've been given are too difficult. For example, every day to meditate on this and that, to remind myself of the meditation object during the day, and to dedicate well at night, etc. So thinking about this, oh, it's too much, I can't do it, or my mind is too distracted, etc. Those are the kinds of hardships and obstacles we encounter. So those need to be put aside, knowing that, or having confidence that the advice we've been given has been given by someone, knowing that we have the ability to achieve these. So therefore, when we have the advice to meditate on refuge, on how all beings have been our mothers and their tremendous kindness, and that we have the responsibility to repay that kindness, etc., generating the mind of bodhicitta, reflecting briefly on emptiness, etc., this is something that we can do. And we can develop these minds within us to the final state, to the state where we actually become a Buddha. And the very first step, for sure, we can all do. And that is the commitment we should be making every morning, that today I will, in every encounter I have with others, whether it's on a mental level or physically I meet them and I'm engaging with them physically or verbally, I will do nothing that's harmful to others. And when I have the opportunity to benefit others, I will benefit them as much as I can. I will take every opportunity that I have to benefit others, and I will do so as well as I can. And this is something that we can do, and we should commit to doing, and overcoming all obstacles to doing so. So these minds of faith that these great masters of the past that we've heard about here, these minds of faith we don't have. They are very powerful and very stable. The faith we have is somewhat more changeable. So therefore, we need to meditate on what we've heard about here, reflect on this again and again, that whatever instructions that I receive, that I have received, that I am receiving, I will receive, these I can fulfill. And if we meditate on this repeatedly, form this mental habit, then whenever we receive a teaching or receive an instruction, we will have the confidence that this instruction is personal to me and I can fulfill it. And in this way, we will use our life well, we'll use whatever remains of this opportunity well, because we will joyfully overcome all obstacles. We will, with a mind that's patient and calm, overcome all obstacles. We'll finish here then tonight. Next week we come to a new section, and this will start with refuge and continue with the cultivation of the mind of bodhicitta, and including the purification practice of Vajrasattva. So that's another major outline in the book, and we'll start that next week. So if there's some questions, Ruby?
Is it to gain realizations
they will come out, come through some hardship and purification? Dini, sam se dita tak tebe. Tokpa drupi ki cedu, tokpa drupna, dini ma drupna, dini kanil tregide, dini dikpa changarebe.
Rie, dat tokpa ngandu gile, kie ma tuba ina, ko kati lami gitu tiba changorua, tirip chawa ina, yan chiki cedile tokpa gitu ne, awal to ma tuba ina, jama kohop yagaragirwa dine lelaimurwa.
And definitely yes, to attain realizations one will definitely have to go through a number of hardships on the path, and will have to purify a tremendous amount. And if in this lifetime one doesn't achieve realizations or the wish for realizations, if one does endure is not so nice, but if one does relate to one's hardships with patience and with the mind of joy, that's joyous perseverance, then one will be creating the causes that in the next life those realizations will come much more easily. Okay. No, another question?
No,
thank you.
Yeah.